It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If the people who had campaigned to prevent the Civic Arena from being torn down had had their way, the Penguins wouldn't be faced with the challenge they have now, how to develop the 28-acre site in the Lower Hill District where the igloo once stood. The Penguins won the rights to develop the area in the 2007 deal to build the Consol Energy Center. Under that agreement, the team was to draw down the first parcel by October 31st or possibly lose the development rights. But now the Penguins are seeking approval from the city and the county to push that deadline back by 1 year. Meanwhile, the team and community leaders in the Hill District are still divided over a number of issues related to exactly what the priority should be for those 28 acres. I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle, who represents the Hill District. Councilman Lavelle, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Also with us is Marimba Malines, Executive Director of the Hill Community Development Corporation. Marimba Malines, good to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And we extended an invitation for a member or members of the Penguins organization to take part in the conversation. We have received no response to our request for an interview. Councilman Lavelle, let's begin with you. What are the key areas of disagreement community leaders in the Hill are having with the Penguins over how to develop this land?
The top two issues currently before us is the level of minority inclusion in terms of the development, both pre-construction, construction, and post-development opportunities, as well as the levels of affordable housing that may exist on the site.
And on project work, as I understand it, you are reportedly asking for 35% to go to racial minorities and 15% to women, which is higher than the ratios of 25 and 10% that have been in effect on other city projects. So one question that a person might ask is, why should the number of jobs and contracts for minorities be higher in this case?
Because unfortunately, this site sits in one of the most impoverished neighborhoods in this entire country. African Americans in the city of Pittsburgh, as recently reported by the University of Pittsburgh in an article in the Post-Gazette this past Sunday, highlighted the fact that we are amongst the most impoverished in the entire country. And this should be an opportunity to sort of rectify that and lift these individuals out of poverty with the contracting opportunities, with the work opportunities that will exist on that site. I've said from the very beginning of this argument that for me, this development was a chance to right a wrong that was made 60 years ago when they destroyed the Lower Hill District, tore out hundreds and thousands of individuals, hundreds of businesses. The economic center for this community was destroyed. And we have an opportunity to right that wrong. And unfortunately, because we are the most impoverished, if we simply say, well, let's do what we've been doing, which is what's being proposed, then we'll just maintain those levels of poverty. If we're going to be very intentional in our efforts, then we've got to set higher standards. We've got to have higher goals. And this is only to the city's benefit at large. The reality is, when you look across America, when you look at what's actually occurring, how cities are growing, they're growing through small business opportunities. Women lead that category in terms of starting small businesses. Racial minorities are second in terms of starting small businesses. So long term, if the city is truly going to be sustainable, if it's truly going to be the most livable, then we've got to raise our minorities' population out of poverty.
Because of the complexity of preparing the property and the process of negotiating, the Penguins are seeking a one-year delay. Should that request be granted?
At this time, I would say no. It's certainly not to the city's benefit. It's certainly not to the residents' benefit to delay development on that site. There was a deal struck many years ago. They've known this is coming a long time. Government has done and continue to do all we can to find resources to pour into the site, and they should have to maintain that deadline. If that deadline is going to be extended, it should be extended with the full support of the community, understanding that it's to all our benefits. As of right now, I don't see how it is.
And that's been the big news this week, is the fact that the Penguins are asking for this delay. And again, the Penguins organization was to draw down the first parcel by October 31st, so in about 2.5 months, or possibly lose the development rights. Have the Penguins talked to you at all and said, hey, have they approached you and asked to for you to work with them on this? Say, we need more time. Maybe there's a compromise here. What has the dialogue been like?
We haven't had dialogue in a number of weeks. Maybe approximately 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were meeting with the Pittsburgh Penguins and the mayor's office. And we were making progress in terms of our agreement on how this development would move forward. But when we got down to the real issues of wealth creation, which is the key to this for me, the dialogue broke apart. There were some differences there, as we talked about earlier, and I haven't had a conversation with them since.
And what are the Penguins offering? Are they offering the standard city ratio of 25% and 10% of the jobs and the housing, or excuse me, the jobs and the contracts going to racial minorities and women?
Correct.
And is there a compromise that can be reached here?
There's always compromises that can be reached, but I'll be very honest. When I read the report that came out this past Sunday, and it reemphasized what I already knew, but even in worse terms, I was prepared to now fight for higher levels. And the reality is, it's achievable. When you look at what's occurring with, say, Conley Trade School in the Hill District, their MWE numbers hover close to around 60%. When you look at what KBK and the Housing Authority is doing on the redevelopment of former Addison Terrace housing site, their numbers currently sit at 47% MWE. The grocery store met those thresholds. And so we're being very intentional in our efforts to put people to work, to give them job opportunities in order to change this tide.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle. Also about to join the conversation, Marimba Malines, Executive Director of the Hill Community Development Corporation. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. What do you think is the best way to develop the former Civic Arena site, all 28 acres of that land? 412-246-2002 is the number to call to take part in this conversation. Marimba Malines of the Hill Community Development Corporation, what is the potential here? And you heard Councilman Lavelle talking about how this neighborhood in the Lower Hill was devastated when the Civic Arena was built in 1960. What is the potential here now for a dramatic remake of this neighborhood?
That's a great question and a very important one. I think the first thing that we need to recognize is that there does not have to be a loser when you're talking about a development that exceeds $1.5 billion. It will definitely be closer to $2 billion worth of development that's happening on the Lower Hill District. When you talk about that kind of capital, why would the community be a loser, and why would the Penguins be a loser? Why would local government be a loser, or a region for that matter? There's enough to go around. And I think the important thing is for us to find the middle ground that is in the best interest of the entire group, not in the best interest per se of, you know, private interests, in many cases billionaires, who have received public subsidy for the past 5 years on this project. And so I think that that's the question. And we know that, you know, this is going to be a mixed-use development. It's going to be an excellent development if we can meet all of these community needs for the entire region, housing, retail, open space. So all of these things are important, but it will all be for naught if we are not able to come up with some type of agreement that assures that it does not cannibalize the Hill District as a community in general.
What do you see as the compromise, as the middle ground here?
Well, I think that, one, this is a very nuanced conversation and a very nuanced topic. It's not a soundbite. It's something that we've been working on for the past several years. We've had community meetings with over 800 residents participating. We have done a deep dive into key areas of concern for the community. And so, you know, when Councilman Lavelle talks about minority participation, we're not just talking about jobs. We're talking about really changing the way development has been done. We're talking about increasing ownership opportunities as well. We're talking about assuring that businesses can own land on the Lower Hill District, not just work during the construction period or work after the construction period. And so that's new because that's what assures wealth. And if we are not committed to building wealth through this project, if we can't do it on a site that has the history of the Lower Hill District, really, where could we do it?
How important is the housing component to all of this, to have much more affordable housing in that 28-acre space of land?
Right. So the percentages that we're looking at right now are 70% market and 30% affordable, with affordability ranging from, say, 50% of what people earn in this area to 80% of what people earn in this area. And we call that the average median income. Okay. When we talk about affordable housing, we're talking about folks who work. That's the first thing in most cases. We're talking about teachers. We're talking about social workers. We're talking about policemen. We're talking about firefighters. We're talking about people who may be a bank teller or who work as in the community as a community organizer. That's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about the Hill District. We're talking about Garfield. We're talking about Bloomfield. We're talking about Lawrenceville. Affordable housing is a citywide and a regional issue. And this is just a perfect platform to explore that issue. And it just so happens that we have this, 28-acre site in which we should really, draw a line in the sand and say, look, development's moving forward should really require some level of affordability if we want to maintain Pittsburgh as an affordable city for working class families.
And how would you characterize the ongoing discussions with the Penguins?
I would characterize them as slow. I think that by now we could have closed a deal. The community is eager to see the development. We feel that the only thing in the way at this stage is reaching an agreement that really is satisfactory for this region, this city, and this community.
And why do you feel that it's taking as long as it is?
Well, because I think that we're trying to do something new. And I think that we are, we are moving away from a typical development model that has generally only provided temporary work for Pittsburgh residents. And we don't think that's an acceptable model. When you're talking about the amount of public subsidy that has gone into this project, we're talking of hundreds of millions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, that have fueled this project. And we don't think that it's acceptable to just provide construction jobs and that the rest of those, the income and revenue that is generated from that site moving forward goes to already, folks who are already billionaires. I don't think that's the model that Pittsburghers, everyday Pittsburghers, believe in. And we in the Hill District certainly don't believe in it.
We are talking about how to develop the 28 acres of land that the Penguins control. It's land that they acquired in the deal to build the Consol Energy Center back in 2007. This is the site of the former Civic Arena, the old Igloo site, which is now, of course, vacant. The Igloo once stood there since the early 60s. It's now gone. So the question is how to develop the 28-acre site to benefit the residents of the Lower Hill District as well as satisfy the needs as identified by the Penguins organization. What do you think should happen at that site? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Marimba Malines of the Hill Community Development Corporation and also Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle. Our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH, #EPLive. I want to get a sense of the history, and I would throw this question to either or both of you, Daniel and Marimba, on the issue of the putting this all in historic context. If we say that something was taken away, what exactly was taken away from the Lower Hill? What sorts of an economic vibe and residential situation existed there before the Civic Arena was built in the Lower Hill District?
Well, previously to demolishing the Lower Hill District, and it's important to understand that it was done through eminent domain. It's important to understand that government decided that was what was best because they wanted to build a cultural center on the Lower Hill that only ever resulted in the Civic Arena being built. But
and the impetus for it was to provide a home for the Civic Light Opera originally.
Correct. Which was there all of maybe a year.
Right, right. It moved, but the arena stayed, and later the Penguins were born, and also all the events, the concerts, the circus, all that has been was a part of that place for nearly a half a century.
Correct. But what was there prior at that time were thousands of hardworking Pittsburghs, the majority of which at that time were African American. But it was also the cultural and the economic hub for the city, for the Hill District community, and I would argue for the larger African-American community in the city at large. At that point in time, you had functional businesses. You had the dry cleaners, the doctor's offices. You had Pryor's Furs, who was doing the furs for Kaufman's downtown because he wasn't allowed downtown. You had that level of economics that was thriving. And when we tore down the Lower Hill, we displaced thousands of families, over, I believe, about 400 businesses out of the Lower Hill District, and they were forced to disperse.
Was there an outcry at that time?
There was, and that's how Freedom Corner came to be. The activists at that time, the city had actually planned to go further than where they did, and activists at that time stood where Freedom Corner is now located, across from St. Benedict de Moore Catholic Church, and said, no more, no further. You can't not keep destroying our neighborhood. And then the history of Freedom Corner sort of took off from there, where activists and civil rights leaders over the years began to gather there as a starting point. So, yes, there was an outcry, and that's how we ended up where we are today.
And Marimba, is for you and the work that you do, is a lot of this about just making the community whole?
Absolutely. When you look at economic development and good urban design, it makes sense to reconnect this 28-acre Lower Hill District site with the community in a sensible way, not for it to become a development that is inaccessible to the majority of the residents of the Hill District and the rest of the residents of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is right now experiencing a huge amount of transformation. You have lots of folks who want to come and move to Pittsburgh. Many of them come from metropolitan areas and who are used to paying $1,200 a month for a one-bedroom, $1,500 a month for a two-bedroom, and that is nothing for them, right? That is almost a deal. That is not the case for most of Pittsburgh. When you talk to residents in Bloomfield, when you talk to residents in Lawrenceville, when you talk to residents in all parts of the city, on the south and west communities, they don't think that that's a really good deal. And that's because our income has grown more slowly, right? And in tandem with what has been happening with us locally than maybe in a New York City or a larger metropolitan area. So when we talk about these rents at $1,200 a month or $1,500 a month for a one- and two-bedroom apartment, who really are we targeting? You're going to attract a very transient population. You're going to attract a resident base that's basically working downtown and maybe university students, right? And that is fine to a degree. They should be a part of the community. But they should not be the entire community. It's important for us to maintain the cultural and ethnic identity of our communities. I mean, Pittsburgh is very proud of, its different ethnicities here. I mean, that's something we celebrate. And I see that right now with the direction of the housing development, we would really have a relatively monolithic site. And I don't think anyone is really, looking for that. The history of the Lower Hill District is also one where it was the landing ground for ethnic Pittsburgh. It was home to African Americans in its latest in its latest stage. It was a home to Jews, Polish, Italians, Armenians, Syrians. This is important Pittsburgh history that is completely being ignored in the redevelopment of this site. And I think it would be a loss for our region for us not to celebrate it in its redevelopment.
We're talking about how best to develop the 20-acre site in the Lower Hill District where the igloo once stood. Our guests are Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle and also Marimba Malines, Executive Director of the Hill Community Development Corporation. We will continue the discussion and take your calls at 412-246-2002 after the break. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer as we continue our discussion on the determination of what should be done with the 28-acre site in the Lower Hill District where the igloo once stood. Again, the Penguins won the rights to develop the area in the 2007 deal to build the Consol Energy Center. Under that agreement, the team was to draw down the first parcel by October 31st or possibly lose the development rights. The Penguins are seeking approval from the city and county to push that deadline back by 1 year. And in the meantime, the team and community leaders in the Hill District are still divided over a number of issues related to exactly what the priorities should be for those 28 acres. Our guests are Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle, who represents the Hill District, and also Marimba Malines, who is president and CEO of the Hill Community Development Organization, Hill Development Corporation. Again, Hill Community Development Corporation. That's a mouthful. I think we finally got it right. Marimba Malines, good to have you with us.
And, glad to be here.
Good to have our callers with us. And let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rick in Brighton Heights. Rick, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi. Rick, you're on with Marimba Malines and Councilman Daniel Lavelle.
I'm driving home from work here, just crossing the West End Bridge. And I'd like to thank you for taking my call, Paul. And I heard part of the discussion that the Hill District and its rich history, and that's great. And a part of that history is Conley Trade School. Now, I don't know of any trade schools in the city of Pittsburgh, and we have a state-of-the-art performing arts school downtown. We have City High and a couple other educational things that, you know, they're great. But we don't have any place to teach our kids a trade. And I think that a trade school should be, a state-of-the-art trade school should be part of that development because, hey, you know, there are manufacturers that don't come in here because our people aren't trained. Construction, our people aren't trained. You know, we'd like to have more people trained in the trades, and labor history and all that should go with it.
Well,
and I thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Rick, and we'll let Councilman Lavelle handle your suggestion. What about the idea, Councilman, of a trade school being built on some of that land?
It's being done right now. The Conley Trade School that Rick mentioned is actually under development to become a world-class green innovation center, which will do training within the trades.
Well, so it's already being done. So, Rick, your suggestion, your vision for that land is aligned with the community leaders in the Hill District. So thank you for your input. Let's go to Michael in Pittsburgh. Michael, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, I have two comments. I think one, you know, looking historically at the Hill District, as a Pittsburgher, I remember the Hill District in the late 50s and 60s being a place that, you know, was not such a great neighborhood. There was a lot of drug dealing and prostitution, and it was not what I think is being characterized as a great African-American neighborhood. You know, maybe if you look back 50 years prior to that, I agree with it. But today, I think, you know, the idea that building apartments that are expensive, they're only going to be housed by people who can afford them. So if it's $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, I think it's what the market bears. And given the proximity to the city and what's been happening in the transformation of the city, you know, I don't think you can restrict the development there only to have, you know, mixed housing use to a degree. I would agree with that, but I think in the long term, it's going to be what economics prevail, and the city is going transformation, and sometimes cities are very expensive to live in. that's the nature of how they grow. And I've lived in Manhattan. I've lived in Pittsburgh for a long time. You know, it's just what happens.
Well, part of the problem
progress goes.
Sure, sure. Well, and your point is well taken, but I think part of the problem in this city, and we've talked about it before on this program, is the lack of affordable housing. Right. Go ahead, Councilman Lavelle.
Well, 2 points. In terms of making sure that it's affordable for what is occurring now, to Marimba's earlier point, the average income in the city of Pittsburgh is only approximately $34,000, $35,000. And so when you are discussing building a one-bedroom for $1,200, $1,300, that's not affordable for Pittsburgh. So our fight is to ensure that there is affordability for all of Pittsburgh on that site. The other point of that's just how a city grows is not entirely accurate, because when you look at Manhattan, when you look at Washington, D.C., and other major large metropolitan areas, they have inclusionary housing where they've built into it affordable housing. When you go to areas such as Harlem, you actually have areas under rent control so that you can't just escalate and remove people from their homes. If the development is strictly done as being proposed, can you – remember, you used the word earlier, cannibalize. Imagine what would happen to the rents elsewhere in the Hill District neighborhood. Imagine what's going to happen as it slowly trickles out. You're going to lose all levels of affordability. And also, just keep in mind, we haven't said let's not do affordable. We're saying 70% of it should be affordable, because that is to the benefit of Pittsburgh. That is to the benefit of collecting higher tax rates and being able to reinvest those dollars and grow our city. But for those that already live here, for the average income of only $34,000, we have to protect those individuals and provide them opportunities to grow with the city. And that's really the argument.
Marimba, I wanted to ask you about Michael's characterization of the neighborhood in the Hill District prior, I believe he was referring to before the Civic Arena was built. He said 50s and 60s, but by the 60s, the Civic Arena was there. So let's talk about the 50s. And what is his characterization fair, that it was not a good area, that there was a lot of drug use and crime and problems?
Absolutely. There were a lot of problems, just like any urban community. It was not unique in that sense, except that it was the hub of a lot of, you know, Pittsburgh, because it was the landing ground for so many different groups of people. And so they didn't just disconnect themselves completely from the Hill District for many decades. They would come back to the Hill District as the center of culture and entertainment. So it was, it was a very active area. And it also, still had a very rich cultural legacy at that time. I mean, we were kind of living that. And, you know, so, yes, I would say that the characterization of the Hill District being mostly prostitutes and, you know, drug dealers and so forth is a mischaracterization at any given point. You know, the Hill District is 1.8 square miles large. And so it's one of Pittsburgh's largest communities. So to try to characterize it based on what's happening in any given part is probably, you know, kind of, you know, lacks a complete understanding of everything that's happening in that community.
Lots of people who want to join the conversation. We'll work in all of the calls that we can, and we'll start with Chris in Aspinwall. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm calling about the August Wilson home in the Hill District. I think it's on Bedford Avenue. 2 points. It's only a block or two from the Civic Arena redevelopment, so it seems like it would be a natural fit to be part of that redevelopment plan. Also, the August Wilson Center downtown, it seems like it would be a win-win if the New York developers were allowed to use that site, maintain some space for the center and make a hotel, and then all that foundation and URA money that's been raised, if that were actually spent at August Wilson's birthplace to refurbish that and help the Hill up there. What do you think about that?
Your thoughts, Daniel or Marimba?
Sure. One, the August Wilson's home on Bedford Avenue has been designated historic. They are raising dollars to rehab the August Wilson home and bring it back to life. I believe they want to have – there's been conversation of having it sort of as a museum. There's conversation of having maybe sort of like a coffee shop as part of it. So that is being worked on. Relative to the August Wilson Center downtown, I think we need to separate those issues, because those are very different and very – and the August Wilson Center downtown is a very complex issue. Relative to the developer out of New York, I believe there can be a win-win, but this developer out of New York has also shown no financial wherewithal to actually do the development. So the idea that you're just going to be able to slap up a hotel on top of the August Wilson Center is very troublesome, especially when they've been asked to show proof of financing and have yet to do so. But the larger issue is, and the URA's position is, we should be looking at this as a center first with a hotel second, right? Not vice versa, not a hotel that just happens to have a little bit of exhibit space. And that's sort of the core of the conversation.
Let's go to Linda in Imperial. Linda, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, this is Linda. I just wanted to say that I am a true Pittsburgher. I grew up in Bloomfield. My father owned a store, and my mother worked at Conley, so I have a real heart for the city. What I would love to see is a multicultural development, a multi-level, where there would be rental spaces that were affordable for people from all different cultures in our city, because we have such a wonderful, diverse group of people. I believe that basically we'd all very much get along. And for anyone who's been here for a while, we know that each section of the city has so many wonderful things to offer. And I would just love to have a place to go to spend a Saturday afternoon with people from all different cultures, learn about their cultures, see the things they have to sell, the education they have to give. And I think it would be a wonderful place to bring us all together.
Okay. Well, Linda, well said. And Marimba, what about Linda's idea that she would like to see a multicultural center with affordable rent spaces for all cultures to sell their wares?
I think that is a brilliant idea, and I think that the fact that we're dealing with a 28-acre site, that idea is viable in addition to the level of commercial and residential development that we would also like to see on that site. I think we keep getting caught in an either-or question when it's really a both-and. And I think that given the history, again, of the Lower Hill District, I think Linda is right on point, and I think that that ought to be pursued. Part of the challenge with this is that the Lower Hill District site was never RFP'd. We never, when you do an RFP, you get the best and brightest, because competition.
An RFP, again, is?
A request for proposals. We never asked the public, we never asked professionals, we never asked developers on a public basis, what do you think is best for this site? And so we are missing all of that opportunity to envision what it could be. We're kind of stuck in this, oh, well, we can't do this or we can't do that, instead of saying, well, what can we do and who can do it and who can bring the capital to the table? And an RFP fleshes all of that out.
Go ahead, Councilman Lavelle.
Very briefly, part of our discussions with the Penguins towards Linda's point is exactly that. We've actually said 20% of all the retail space on the site has to be set aside for small business opportunities, so small businesses can come in with their wares and actually be on that site. I had a great conversation with Visit Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago where they were saying when they market Pittsburgh, they don't simply market, they market Lawrenceville. They market the Strip District because it's unique and it's special. They said, we don't want to see just a large Southside Works on that site. We want to see local people on that site, local people engaged, and then we can market that. So Linda's recommendation is exactly on point. We've tried to secure that within this deal. And again, the 20% for those small businesses, the Penguins have balked at that as well.
And I should reiterate before we go to Bill in Banksville that we did invite a representative of the Penguins to take part in this conversation. The invitation was issued at the same time that we invited Councilman Lavelle and Marimba Malines to join us, and we have not received a response to our request for an interview from the Penguins organization. Let's go to Bill in Banksville. One last call. Bill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. We're behind on time, so if you can make your point as quickly as possible, we'd appreciate it.
Well, I think the reported $1,000 subsidized rent for a one-bedroom apartment is ridiculously high, considering the one-bedroom private apartments off Crane Avenue here are considerably lower rents. And the other remark I would like to make is that this misguided total clearance urban renewal in the 50s and early 60s, it did not just happen to black people. In Boston, they cleared the West End of Polish, Italian, and Jewish people. Total clearance.
Well, right. And sorry, Bill, I need to jump in.
That was the same kind of urban renewal.
Sure. And in fact, West Boston was a neighborhood that I think, because of development, now no longer exists, basically, as a residential area. And as you could tell, Boston, Bill from Banksville, has that Boston accent. So he obviously lived through that experience. What about Bill's point, Marimba?
Yes, firstly, the rents are also estimated by the Penguins. So those, if you look at the Hill District and what's happening with rents, if you look at, for example, the Fifth Avenue High School on Fifth Avenue in the uptown area of the Hill District, the rents are definitely between $1,000 and $1,500 a month. And so what happens in real estate is you take the closest comparable property to determine what the market will be for the site you are planning to develop. So we know that those numbers are absolutely correct. And we agree that urban renewal happened everywhere and impacted poor people all throughout this country, and in particular impacted African Americans at a heightened level because of the disproportionate amount of poverty.
One last question we must ask. Because Hill District leaders like both of you and the Penguins are divided on a number of issues, should a heavy hitter like Mayor Peduto, for example, step in and broker a deal as the Post-Gazette suggested in an editorial yesterday?
I certainly welcome the mayor's participation. I welcome our senator's participation. I welcome our congressman's participation. But when getting involved in the conversation, I believe the question we have to have before us as policymakers is, what is our policy relative to development? What is our policy relative to the millions of dollars the government will pump into this site, and what do we expect for that return? Do we simply allow, as Ms. Milan stated earlier, already millionaires to make more, or do we use this as an opportunity to lift individuals that we collectively represent out of poverty, create generational wealth that is only going to benefit our entire city at large? And I would hope that our mayor would stand with us in having that policy perspective.
Mayor Peduto ran on supporting communities. That was his main differentiating point on what he will bring to Pittsburgh. So we would naturally expect that he would fully support, you know, the Hill District community. We realize that he also has to support downtown, but downtown is also a community. The corporate interests and the billionaires, they hire, but ultimately the policy must be directed towards improving the quality of life of the residents of the city of Pittsburgh. So we do expect to have their full support.
We've been talking with the Hill Community Development Corporation president and CEO, Marimba Malines, and also Pittsburgh City Councilman Daniel Lavelle about how to develop the 28 acres of land where the Civic Arena once stood, now controlled by the Penguins. We requested a representative from the Penguins organization to take part in this conversation. We received no response. Councilman Lavelle, Marimba Malines, thank you both for being with us here today on Essential Pittsburgh. And coming up, we will talk about the pros and cons of CrossFit training. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.